Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 10th of May, recording at 9:28 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. And it was a day that favored the bulls. The Asian stock markets, well, were mostly quietly steady. Europe was stronger. Most of these European markets closed with gains of over 1%, including the German DAX index back up to 7,501. The Americas were firmer, and the exception is Toronto, Canada, Canadian index. The S&P was up over 10 today. That's not 0.81%. It was a solid performance overall. Closed us a little bit off the highs. And long-dated government bond prices weakened against this background. The U.S. 30-year bond future is currently down 26, 30 seconds. That's the low of the day. More on that in a moment. One of the big stories is coming out of the USA, and that concerns the incredibly high water levels on the Mississippi River, and the risk of further flooding that this poses. And there is much talk, I'm posting another article on this today, but much talk about whether or not they will break more of the levees intentionally to prevent flooding in urban regions. And this is causing problems, or concerns rather, about the shortage, about a possible shortage of gasoline due to a slowdown of activity in Louisiana's refineries, should they be compromised by flooding. And then just barge traffic has slowed down considerably. So in terms of actually getting crude oil to the refineries, and this caused the gasoline price to spike higher. I opened a short in that on Friday and thought it looked good, but I had overlooked or underestimated the impact that this U.S. flooding would actually have. That flooding has also kept firmed, I should say, prices for the grain and bean complex this week. They were up again today, although those gains were pegged back fairly significantly towards the close. Elsewhere, the U.S. dollar index is a little bit easier. Dollar a little bit softer generally, except against the yen. It is up against the yen, which probably gets the wooden spoon for weak currency here today. And there has been some talk and concern that we might see further intervention to weaken the Japan and to weaken the yen. Poor Japan is weak enough on its own. Precious metals bounced for a second day in here. We've currently got silver at 38.50. That's up 137, 138. Gold bullion seesawed a little bit, but is currently at 516. That's up 2.25. And we have modest gains for platinum and palladium as well. Most industrial metals are up except for tin. Crude oil bounced back. We're up to 117.5 for Brent. And we are up to 103.50 for NYMEX. And I think a lot of that is to do to concern over supplies in the USA, but it also must be said that we're just getting a general bounce back following the big sell-off that we saw in commodity markets yesterday. Okay, so what's it all mean, and where are we going? from here. Well, I mentioned at the beginning that this was a day that favored the bulls in equities. Steady action overall. We still have the positive monetary environment, and that's despite all the rate hikes in countries such as India and China. Most of that, or the biggest chunk of that liquidity, is coming from the USA, from the Fed, as we know, and I think more liquidity will be coming from Japan, although that's not yet proven. And most countries, certainly the developed countries of the West, still have negative interest rates. And most countries worldwide have negative interest rates, meaning that they remain below the current rate of inflation. So that's a good tailwind for equities. But as I mentioned before, the monetary stimulus was hugely bullish back in 2009 and 2010, and you ought to mark the cards of the people who did not understand that or did not appreciate that in terms of forecasters, because everybody makes their mistakes, but to have not appreciated the massive extent of that reflation and what a tailwind that was for equities was careless, to put it mildly. Now, so monetary conditions today, less favorable than they were, but they're still a net positive tailwind for equities. The concern that I've had, as you know, in for a number of weeks now, is the headwind coming from commodity prices. Now, commodity prices backed off last week, but they're still at uncomfortably high levels. And so that's why I've described most stock markets as being caught in this scrum or opposing scrums or tug of war. I've also described it as between the monetary conditions and the inflationary pressure, short-term inflationary pressures of commodity prices. Now, it's slightly worse than that in terms of commodity prices, because when you get a spike in commodity prices, and I want to say as an aside, if they're rising gradually, then companies can adjust, households can even adjust. It's when they spike over a period of several months, as we have seen, I'll reproduce that graph again today, that really is a problem. And it's an inflationary problem in the short term, but it has deflationary implications over the medium term, because it hits consumption and it hits corporate spending, or it increases corporate costs. And I had been saying that if commodity prices kept going up, they would knock back stock markets. Well, they are not going up at the moment. They have seen a setback, and I think we will see some more mean reversion. But they'd already done some damage in terms of stock markets. And while investors, there's much in the news about the strength of corporate profits, not least in the USA. We're talking about first quarter 2011 profits, and the stock market will be looking, or should be looking, or shortly will be looking at the prospects for the second quarter and the third quarter earnings, and they're not going to be quite so bright. So that's the current situation. I think it makes it more difficult to make money in these markets. It's a choppy environment. As I've said before, I don't think we need to go in for any full-scale liquidation. I haven't liquidated any of my long-term equity positions in here. But equally, we need to temper our expectations. This happens. We get range-bound markets, and nobody makes a great deal of money in that environment. And eventually, those range-bound markets produce strongly trending markets, we can't get strongly trending markets all the time for obvious reasons. Also, in terms of trading activities, there's enough choppy whipsaw activity to create what I think is quite a difficult environment. And I probably should do less trading rather than more in this environment. Now, one of my trades that's been costing me a bit of pain recently, or the most pain recently, has been the Treasury bond short. And I am well aware that Bernanke is still continuing with QE2 through the end of June or into June. And the markets know that, and the markets have also sensed a little bit of deflationary pressure coming from the slowdown caused by GDP growth slowdown caused by higher commodity prices, although this is not a serious deflationary risk of the sort that people were worrying about back in 2008 and 2009. And so consequently, these bond markets have seen quite a good rally, and that will have included some short covering. Now, I have not covered my shorts, and I'm wondering if I should actually increase them a little bit and have a look at those charts. I think they're interesting. Treasury bond futures I'm talking about in particular. Well, that's the one I hold. But you look at Canadian bond futures or Japanese government bond futures or gilt futures, and they all look quite overextended to me. And I maintain that they're in an overall multi-year top-building process, and that the next significant move should be downwards. But in saying that, I will readily confess to the fact that I did not expect them to rise that much, or as much as they have quite recently. But hey, that's the way top formations are. They're quite choppy. And ditto, of course, the converse is the base building bottoming out process for the yields. And it can take several years and will also be quite choppy within a range. Now, what about the precious metals? I was looking for a bounce, or even talking about on Friday about the fact that we'd seen a very sharp move downwards and would see some bounce. I don't think we're going back to new highs in here, and not for the remainder of this quarter, and probably not before the end of the year. Sorry, I'll rephrase that. Not in this quarter. Probably not until later this year. I think we will see seasonal strength come back in September, as I've mentioned before. And that would imply a bottoming action for these precious metals. It's not beyond the possibilities that we've actually seen the lows on the setback, although that would be somewhat surprising. And I do expect the lows that we've seen for gold and silver, for instance, to be tested. And that would also suggest that they were going to be tested for platinum and palladium. So again, we're in a quiet period here of some underperformance for the precious metals, and that's a healthy breather overall. I certainly don't think the secular bull market is over, as you know. What else to mention here? The grain and bean complex. Again, this weather out of the USA, all predicted by Evelyn Browning Garris. And her excellent Browning report. She's also forecasting better conditions for the summer months. Well, we'll hope so. I certainly hope so. But of course, it's not just the U.S. where the U.S. has the flooding problem. Canada also has a flooding problem, which is delayed plantings, and that's a serious problem in a country that's in a cooler temperature zone generally. China, we have drought problems. In Europe, we've got drought and heat problems, and that includes the UK this year. So this is not a great story here in terms of commodity food prices. Tricky times overall. Okay, that's pretty much it here today. So all the best.